Welcome to Dubs OT, your weekly Warriors podcast on thesportsvirus.com.
Brought to you by TPC Harding Park in San Francisco, home of the 2020 PGA Championship. And Kane's Tire in San Rafael, the lowest prices in Marin for over 60 years. Now, here are your hosts, Ray Whitson and Joe Castellano.
Coming up, we'll talk about the Warriors' opening night loss to the Clippers. But first, I want to tell you about our favorite golf course, TPC Harding Park in San Francisco. Live in San Francisco and love to play golf? Visit TPC Harding Park and purchase your two-year resident card, giving you immediate savings on golf and other programs at the park. Cut your green fees in half by purchasing your card today. Visit www.tpc.com/Harding Park for more information. Well, Ray, the Warriors have opened up their season, and man, what a difference a year makes. New arena, new team, plenty of new faces, and an ugly result, especially defensively. The most points that the Warriors have given up in the Steve Kerr era, and not surprising when you saw just sort of the open door to the hoop so many times, especially in that third quarter when the Clippers just went off on the Warriors. So not a lot of optimism after that game, other than the fact that, you know what, you just played maybe the best team in the NBA, so you can't hang your heads too low, I guess.
I don't think there's any maybe about it. I think the Clippers are the best team. And I think they're kind of taking the place of the Warriors. They have so many of the strong points that the Warriors had during their five-year run. So the Warriors opening up that new arena, they were certainly gracious hosts on the opener.
Right.
We knew that this was going to be kind of a mismatch. We know how good the Clippers are probably going to be, and that the Warriors are in a rebuilding phase here. And then, you know, Draymond gets hurt during the game, and Kevon Looney has the hamstring issue. And, oh, by the way, it started out with somebody spilling their drink, and it ended with the Warriors taking a timeout they didn't have.
Yeah, so, good point. Yeah, both good points.
It was just bookends of crap for the first game. But, you know, I understand, and you were there, that the arena is beautiful.
Yeah.
It's just not the same atmosphere. It's just not going to be. They're going to have to create their own atmosphere. And you do that with a good basketball team, and that's going to be a definite work in progress. The fifth most points allowed by a team in an opener in NBA history. We're talking over more than 70 years. And like you said, it was open door policy to the hoop all night long, and that's going to be a problem for them all year. I mean, they'll have Looney, and they'll have Draymond, you would hope, for the balance of the season, but interior defense is going to be a major problem. A lot of guys getting lost in assignments, and, you know, you got nine players who are 23 years old and younger, so they don't have the experience. They don't have, you know, they're not locked in defensively on the reads, on what they're supposed to be doing. You saw how many times they just look lost out there. So
yeah.
it's a new day. In the words of the great Boys to Men, although we've come to the end of the road, still I can't let go. It's unnatural. You belong to me. I belong to you.
Well, there's so much to think about as far as the team and on the floor. But since you did mention the arena and the fact that I was there, although I was sitting in a TV truck, so it's hard for me to comment on what the atmosphere is. Although NBA arenas to me, Ray, there's not a whole lot of romance compared to a baseball stadium. So I can't really say much about that. But I will say, I mean, look, there's a lot of bells and whistles, and it's a beautiful place, no doubt. But one thing that they didn't do well, and I think a lot of people would agree with this, is that they did not put in enough parking. They should have figured out a way to buy a parking lot or a few of them or whatever. I mean, people, including myself, were parking over at Oracle Park. And, you know, yeah, it's pretty close, but it's not right next door. I mean, you got to walk. And and it's not cheap either. I mean, they're, you know, charging people $40. Even media members are paying $40 to park. It's kind of crazy.
Well, yeah, and just wait till they're playing on the same night as the Giants.
That's going to be insane.
That's going to be a fun social experiment, I guess. I mean, my in-laws live on the peninsula. I'd probably be coming up on Caltrain and making sure I had my tennis shoes and taking a good long walk
right
from the Caltrain station. I mean, that's kind of the way you get around that. But, yeah, as far as driving, that's kind of a no-go, unless you want to take a whole lot of time to get there and back. You know, it's for fans on the peninsula and in the city, it's great. For the old fans who showed up at Oracle Arena, it's, you know, it's, I'm sure a lot of them were saying, yeah, I can't do this. Can't go across to the city during rush hour to see a basketball game. So it's just a different dynamic now. Everything's different. And again, you know, this is the part of the growth and metamorphosis of a franchise to the elite level, to where they've got $700 million in revenue. They're a major concern now, in not only in the NBA, but in all of sports. And part of that is, and this was the plan for many years, they were going to build this new palace. So they've got it, and not an auspicious beginning. You know, it reminds me of when they opened up Oracle Park and Kevin Elster hit three home runs.
Oh, yeah, that's right. For the Dodgers, yeah.
Right. So this stuff happens. We do remember those moments and kind of chuckle about it. But listen, you know, big picture, defense is going to be a major problem. I think certain nights offense is going to be a problem. Steph can't do it all by himself. You know, D'Angelo Russell is going to make his contribution, but who else is going to step up? You know, Draymond's going to have to make more three-pointers, and he had an elbow contusion in the openers. I don't know if that's going to be something he's going to be able to do once again on a consistent basis. If they need him to shoot like he did, remember when they had that 24-0 start to the season a few years ago, and Draymond was shooting three-pointers at a high rate, and then he had to dial it back. You know, they're going to need that kind of contribution from him, and I'm not sure if he's going to be able to do that. So who else is going to chip in? Is, you know, Jacob Evans matched his career and season total in one game with four threes. Is he ready to step up? You know, I don't know. They're going to need somebody because they don't have a lot of wings even who can shoot threes, much less backup point guards. You know, so where's the offense going to come? And like I said, you know, there's a lot of young players who are going to have to learn how to develop defensively. So I think it's going to be a painful start for the season. And, Joe, you look at the schedule, I'm looking at a team that's going to be quite a bit under 500 at the start, and maybe they start figuring it out later in the year and they play better basketball. But I don't know if you saw the face-off between Klay Thompson and Charles Barkley at halftime.
I actually just watched it before talking to you here because I didn't get to see it earlier. You know, I heard some sound bites, and, yeah, that was really something. What did you think of that?
Well, yeah, I mean, Charles is... you know, telling Clay, you know, sorry, but you're not going to make the playoff.
Yeah, that was awkward.
And if I was Clay, I would have said, well, this won't be the first time that you'll be wrong about us, Charles. You know,
yeah.
Because he's been wrong about a lot of things with the Warriors. But I tend to think he's right about this. The West is so tough. There, you know, it's been an earthquake in the Western Conference, all the talent and all the bodies changing hands and teams, you know, redoing their rosters. And oh, by the way, the Clippers didn't have their second-best player, Paul George, last night.
Yeah,
still
exactly.
Ran the Warriors out of their new gym. You know, it's going to be a real tough go for the Warriors to get to the playoffs. And I think that, you know, everybody has reflected on that new reality. Steve Kerr, I think, is getting fans ready for that postgame. He's looking at this roster and saying, man, I got a lot of work to do here. You saw the body language of Steph Curry. It's like, man, this is going to be a real challenge this year. It's not that he won't accept the challenge, but, I mean, this is going to be a very difficult year for him, I think.
Oh, I agree. I mean, every time he touched the ball, he was getting blitzed. It was a double team. You know, the same kind of thing was even happening with Russell. I mean, once the Clippers recognized that, hey, he's going to pull up, he's got a lot of confidence in his shot, he's seeing some double teams. So, I mean, they want everybody else to shoot the ball, and that's where, I mean, other players yep. are going to have to step up. I mean, you know, Evans showed a nice stroke. Like you said, he didn't do anything last year. He seems a little more confident, but there was really nobody else out there, and it does seem really frustrating. I mean, I think Curry and Green, that's going to be the main factor of this, is how frustrated do they get? Curry, as far as getting open shots, and Green, as far as being the leader of the defense, because he, to me, Ray, he was just looking at everybody going, what is going on? I mean, we've got guys that are totally lost out here, and he was getting super frustrated about it.
Well, yeah, I don't know what the over-under on is on Draymond yelling at some of the younger players this year, but it's got to be in the double digits. I mean, you know, it's that's going to be the challenge for these guys, is to be patient with these younger players this year. And so that's why Steve Kerr said there are going to be nights like this. There are going to be quite a few nights like that. I mean, not every team is the Clippers. Not every team has the firepower that the Clippers do. So you would hope that they'd be able to stay in some of these games and win some. But, you know, the gap between them and the top of the league right now is quite wide. And I think that, again, Steve Kerr is trying to get people ready for that reality. In addition to making the statement about Klay Thompson not likely to play this year, I guess he walked that back a little. But I think what they're trying to do is get people to stop asking questions about it during the season. They've got enough to worry about. They just don't want them to think about Klay. If he comes back, great. And it'd be nice if he's able to make some kind of contribution by the end of the year. But, you know, you're talking an ACL. You're talking July 2nd for the surgery. You know, April 1st is 9 months. And, you know, given the history of these injuries, even that's pushing it a little bit for an elite athlete who works so hard as Klay does. His recovery is going well, and that's great, but that's not something they can think about right now.
Yeah, I agree. And, you know, I think with Klay, I think he's being honest and genuine when he's talking about these younger guys, because his optimism, I think some of the Warriors feel that there is optimism. It's just that when they got into this first game, there's a lot of nerves. I mean, a guy like Jordan Poole, as Klay said, you know, outshot him in some contest they had, and he goes out there in the game and he goes 1-for-7 from three, and you're going, oh, can this guy shoot? I mean, I think a lot of these guys are probably better than they're showing, and some of them might be just thinking a lot out there instead of just playing. You know, like a couple of times looking at Pascal, he just looked, you know, like I said before, lost defensively. They don't know where they have to be, and I think that'll come a little more naturally. And I think, you know, the fans, the coaches, everybody, you just got to be patient. I mean, you can't be thinking about playoffs. You got to be patient with a younger team that's trying to learn and figure this out.
Well, I think the opener did serve one purpose. If anybody had any expectations, those got slapped down.
Right.
So maybe it takes all the pressure off now, and people don't expect as much out of this team, and eventually they're going to start playing above expectations. And I do think, you know, Jordan Poole's going to shoot better. We know that. I would hope so anyway. You know, we've seen enough of him know that he can shoot. It's just a matter of whether he's going to be enough of a consistent threat. Is Jacob Evans going to be enough of a consistent threat? You know, somebody like Omari Spellman, you know, is somebody that can shoot threes. Will he be able to do that on a consistent basis? You know, and, you know, they didn't like the fact that he came into camp a little heavier than they wanted. But is he going to be able to make any kind of contribution this year? You have somebody like Marquise Chris on the roster, kind of a surprise. And, you know, they think maybe with the new situation that he'll start responding and showing some of the potential they thought when he was originally drafted a couple of years ago. You know, there's just so many questions on this roster right now. And I guess that's the part that's going to be kind of interesting is, you know, who fulfills expectations or exceeds expectations? Who are they going to say goodbye to and just send them on down the road? That's going to be the intrigue for this year. Who are the young players are going to make some kind of an impact?
And how do you guard against Curry getting, you know, so many minutes and taking so many shots, so much of a load that, you know, he's going to be exhausted by the time they get to the All-Star break? You know, there's not going to be any load management, I wouldn't think, with Curry. I mean, he has to carry this team.
Well, the only load management will be if they get blown out and he has to sit out the fourth quarter like he did, you know, in the opening. There's going to be, and I think there are going to be a few games like that. But, yeah, it's going to be tough. I mean, every team's going to be sending two guys at him. So he's got to adjust to that. He's got to take better care of the basketball, and he admitted it after the game that he was careless with some of his passes. Those are passes that, you know, he was making when the Warriors had their best lineup. He was making passes like that. Now there's no margin for error. You can't do that. So he's got to take better care of the basketball. But, as far as finding outlets, it's somebody, aside from Russell, is going to have to be a consistent threat on this team. Or it's just going to be that way for Curry all season long. And like I said, it's going to be very difficult. There's going to be a lot of wear and tear.
Dubs OT continues right after this.
When it's time for new tires, you want the lowest prices and the best service, don't you? Well, Kane's Tire in San Rafael has you covered on both. Kane's has the lowest prices in Marin County, and they provide the warm and welcoming service that you can only receive from a family-run business. And this is a dependable family business that's been around for 61 years. Voted best of Marin for 35 years in a row, Kane's prices beat Costco's prices every time. Kane's Tire, 1531 4th Street in San Rafael. Give him a call at 415-453-2942. That's 415-453-2942 for Kane's Tire.
Meanwhile, the Clippers, like you said, I mean, you know, there really isn't much argument right now. Just looking at how loaded this team is, I mean, the way they played without Paul George, like you said, that's pretty amazing. I mean, they're so deep. And to put up 46 points in a quarter just shows what they're capable of offensively. We know about how great they can be defensively with Patrick Beverley and some other guys there, and Kawhi, of course. But, you know, with Kawhi leading the offense and so many other, you know, Lou Williams off the bench, you know, still looking like he's spry, scoring 22 points, it's just going to be tough to slow down this team. I mean, they're going to get off to a great start.
Well, imagine if the Warriors, you know, with their bench over the years, had somebody like Lou Williams coming off the bench.
Yeah.
You know, man, oh, man, this guy is unstoppable. I mean, they didn't have anybody who could guard him. They didn't have anybody who could really guard Kawhi Leonard except for maybe Draymond from time to time. And I do think defense is supposed to be their calling card. You're talking about Kawhi Leonard, Patrick Beverley, and Paul George, three very good defenders on the floor at the same time. And then, you know, you talk about their transition game, their ability to shoot threes, their versatility. The defense is going to feed that offense. And I could see them putting up 140 on a lot of teams this year. I hate to go off of one game against the Warriors team that's clearly depleted right now. But they also beat the Lakers by 10. Looked pretty good doing that. And a lot of people are thinking it's the Clippers and the Lakers in the West. I think the Clippers are above the Lakers.
I agree with that, yeah.
I just watched the Lakers beat the Jazz, and I think it was more, you know, the Lakers looked pretty good, but the Jazz had a terrible game. I think the Lakers roster is a little uneven. I think the Clippers are the more complete team.
Yeah, I'll go with that, too. I agree with that. Getting back to the Warriors and D'Angelo Russell, he had the 10 points there in a row right after the Warriors fell behind 14-0. And then he cooled off a little bit, but he looks like a guy who's just going to be really confident, Ray. I mean, the way he handles the ball, you know, I'm not sure that him and Curry are in sync yet. That's going to take some time, but it's going to be tough. You try to set screens for these guys, and there's just not a lot of options, you know, otherwise. You could set a couple of screens, but it still doesn't mean Curry's going to be open. I mean, when he was making some of his shots, he was surrounded by two or three people, you know, in traffic and making them. I think, yeah, you know, Russell and Curry are going to have to create their shots.
Well, you used to have guys like Andrew Bogut to set screens, you know, and they don't have a lot of depth at the big right now. They used to have guys they could pick and roll with like JaVale McGee, and he's gone with the Lakers now. That's another problem for them. It's just they don't have any depth at the five that can, you know, provide some of the dirty work that can free up these guys like Steph Curry and D'Angelo Russell as well. There's going to be a lot of I hate this phrase because I don't think that's really what either of them is trying to do, but you kind of have to play hero ball and try to create your own shot. There's going to be a lot more of that this year. And Steph did that a few times in the opener, but that's just not going to be enough. So, again, is there going to be another threat that's going to emerge? But to be honest with you, Joe, as far as D'Angelo Russell and Steph Curry trying to get in sync, there may not be enough time to do that. Because, you know, everybody's saying the right things, but you have to consider that if they're out of the playoff picture, or, you know, looking like they're kind of lagging behind the field when it comes to the trade deadline, he most definitely could be a trade piece.
Yeah.
You got to look at it like, all right, how can we make this, if this season isn't going to be happening, how do we make this roster better long term and set it up best so that Steph and Clay can, you know, be a force still in their 30s? Or you might look at it like, well, with Clay coming back, we'll have three offensive threats. They're all in the backcourt. But, you know, I think what they're going to need is to find a wing who can shoot a three.
Yeah, absolutely. And the thing that the quote really and soundbite that really caught my attention from Steve Kerr was that this is more of the reality of the NBA. The last 5 years, we've been living in a world that isn't supposed to exist. And it's true. I mean, you just, as a Warriors fan, you have to kind of just tone it down because that isn't the real world. That was great. I mean, that was a great window of opportunity. But now this is sort of the real world of the NBA when you don't have all those all-stars.
Yeah, anybody who wasn't living in that real world kind of got disabused of that notion with the opener. But, yeah, I probably said it on the post-game shows for the Warriors over the years so many times that people were rolling their eyes. But you really did have to stop on certain nights and appreciate how great this team was and what a tremendous run this was over 5 years. And I think that that 2017 team might have been one of the very best in NBA history. That stuff just doesn't fall off of trees. You know, it takes a lot to build up to that point. It took the Warriors 5 or 6 years just to get to that point, starting with the drafting of Steph Curry. And now they're in a, pretty much in that same mode all over again. The difference here is, you know, if healthy, they've got three all-star players. And oh, by the way, I guess you could move Klay over to a wing if you wanted to. That's one way you could try to get around it. If you need to find a wing, you can shoot a three. But that's down the road. So in the meantime, you know, it's there are going to be nights where it feels like the 2003 Warriors.
Yeah, well, yeah, you're right. I mean, that's the thing. You just have to sort of, you know, change your whole attitude about what the team is going to do this year. So coming up, like you said, you know, the schedule could get a little rougher. But on the horizon here, just on Sunday, Oklahoma City, that team is not what it was either.
Yep.
You know, so you look at that, they're off to an 0-2 start. So that could be the start of something for the Warriors to try to get some confidence.
Yeah, that's the team that's been shaken up for sure. And, you know, goodbye Russell Westbrook, goodbye Paul George, and they're starting over as well. So this is a team you feel like you could compete against, get out on the road and get a win, and, you know, build a little confidence. That might help you to, you know, avoid getting too far underwater to start the season. But, you know, you look at the span of the first month or so, it's going to be tough. And, you know, everybody's being brutally honest. And, you know, we're doing a Warriors podcast, and all over the years, you know, we appreciated when they were so good. But right now you could be brutally honest, and, you know, what you see on the floor right now. It's not to say it can't change, because you do have room for growth with all these young players, but there are going to be some growing pains. But part of that growing pain is to learn how to win on the road. Maybe they can take a lesson or two on Sunday.
Yeah, and then they turn right around, continue on the road on Monday, and they'll play at New Orleans, so back-to-back games. But another team that's, you know, kind of struggling out of the gates, they're also 0-2.
Well, what a shame that Zion Williamson is going to be out, you know, to start the year. There's so much anticipation of his game, so much excitement in that town about that. I mean, we'll see him eventually, but it would have been nice to start up the season with all this change and excitement in the NBA. He would have added to that, so... Yeah, you want to make sure that he's healthy down the road. He'll be there eventually. But in the meantime, then, you know, it's another possibility for the Warriors. And, you know, you got to look at the span of the season and some of the teams, and not everybody's the Clippers. So that's what you got to tell yourself. And you get back to the drawing board. And number one, you know, I talked about the scoring problems, but number one is defense. They got to tighten up the defense as things go along, or they really have no shot at making the playoffs.
Absolutely. I totally agree there. Ray, thanks a lot. It's going to be great doing this podcast again with you this year. A totally different angle that we have on it. You know, different way to look at it, but it's going to be awesome to talk about the Warriors every week.
Well, I mean, if you love basketball, it's still going to be a fun story one way or the other. Like I said, there's still some storylines here, how some of these young players are going to turn out. And the great thing with young players is you can always talk about potential, but there's always a chance they can get better. So that's going to be the goal for Steve Kerr and these guys. And, yeah, we'll be talking about it all through the season for our third year. We've been spoiled. It's a different dynamic this year. But, again, we're still talking hoops, so that's not half bad.
Thanks for listening to the Dubs OT Warriors podcast. Join Joe Castellano and Ray Woodson again next week on thesportsvirus.com.